Following is a message from Living Waters Church in Elk River, Minnesota. For more information, visit livingwatersmn.org.
We are in these weeks, we've been looking at the invitations of Jesus and what it really means to say yes to those invitations. If you have a chance, you can go back over the words that have been preached over the last few weeks, because they all contain in them some kind of invitation for us to respond to. How many of us know that, and when an invitation comes to our house, it's usually looking for a response? How many of you are really bad at giving that response, like I am? How many of you are the people that they have to call and say, hey, were you going to be coming? That would be me. But when we have an invitation from Jesus, we want to give a response to that. And so we've been considering, have we left some invitations unanswered? Have we not responded to all of the invitations? And so we want to respond to all of the invitations that he gives us. On Friday night, we responded to the invitation to come to the cross and to look at what the cross really means. And today, we want to respond to the invitation to come alive as Jesus came alive. So I just want to, bridge the gap between the cross and what that meant, and then the resurrection. And I just have I guess it's kind of a spoken word poetry that we're just going to listen to and reflect on the power of what we're celebrating today. That is what we are celebrating, the reality that the story has not ended. That the resurrection for us, the cross is amazing, but it is the doorway to the resurrection. And it's the reminder that wherever we're at right now is not the end of the story. Can I have the kids, any kids that want to come up, we're just going to kind of close with this story of the resurrection and look at why it's so important. Any kids that want to come up and sit, come on up. You can have a seat right on the floor or on the step, although it might be good if as long as you can concentrate on what I'm saying, even if you can't see me. I'm sure there's a sermon there. All right. So today we are celebrating what Jesus did on the cross, and we know that Jesus died on the cross for us. It was out of his love for us. And the Bible says that our sin died with him, our shame died with him, our brokenness, our sadness, our separation from God died with him on the cross, our diseases, the old me that I would be apart from Jesus died on the cross. And so we get to celebrate that, but today we get to celebrate that that wasn't the end of the story. How many of you know what happened next after Jesus died on the cross and they put him on the in the tomb? What happened? Go ahead, Oki.
He rose.
He rose. He rose from the dead. So I'm going to read the story in Scripture. You know, what's interesting is the resurrection of Christ is not necessarily greatly contested in history, that it is one of the things that is actually most recorded, not necessarily his resurrection, because that isn't the conclusion that a lot of historians came to, but that Jesus walked the earth is a historical, relatively known truth, that he walked the earth, that he had disciples, that he died the death of a sinner on the cross, and that his body was no longer in the tomb. Even people who don't believe in God believe in that reality. But what is important for us is to not just believe in that reality, but to believe what that means for us and the reason for that reality. So in the story, okay, you guys listen along and try to picture what happened here in this story. So Jesus was on the cross, he died, and then they put him in the tomb. And then it says, but on the first day of the week at early dawn, they came to the tomb, bringing the spices which they had prepared. This is in Luke chapter 24. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of Jesus. And they were perplexed about this. And behold, two men suddenly stood near them in dazzling clothing. Do you think they were really men? What were they?
Angels.
In other accounts, it specifically says they were angels. And as the women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, why do you seek the living one among the dead? He is not here, but he has risen. Remember how he spoke to you while he was still in Galilee, saying that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day he would rise again? So the angel was saying, Jesus told you this. If we look in the Bible before, when Jesus was with his disciples and with the people that were following him, he told them multiple times. How many of you have ever had your mom or dad tell you something multiple times? Yeah. And they say, I already told you this. Or sometimes you might say, when are we going to go do that fun thing? And they go, I've already told you this. But he told them multiple times, I have to be crucified, I have to die, but then after 3 days, I'm going to be raised again. He even told them exactly when it was going to happen. And yet, they were so disappointed by what had happened at the cross that they kind of forgot that that wasn't the end of the story. They forgot that there was still something that Jesus had told them that hadn't happened yet. And so it would be like this, if I said to you, all you kids, I have a gift for you. I do, actually. I have a gift for you. And so then let's say I go on and on and on and on, and I'm not going to, but and I haven't given you the gift yet, but I'm telling you that I have a gift for you, that I have something that I'm going to give you. And it's important that you get that message. And so one thing that we need to realize is that the truth of the resurrection, the declaration of the resurrection, is an important part of the message of the gospel. Sometimes I think we can focus on the forgiveness of sins and that is accomplished at the cross, and that's good and right because that's also an essential part of the gospel. But the resurrection is an important part of the message of the gospel because it separates Jesus from any other martyr. It separates Jesus from any other good man who walked and lived on earth, who we say, oh, I want to live like him because he's a good guy. Was Jesus a good guy? He was. He was a good guy. But even more important than that, he was the one who died on the cross and was resurrected. And that matters to the message. That's an important part of the message. In fact, the very first time that there was an evangelistic sermon when they were filled with the Holy Spirit and Peter spoke about Jesus, he spoke about the fact that God raised him from the dead, putting an end to the agony of death, since it was impossible for him to be held by its power. The fact that we say Jesus raised from the dead and why it's so important in the message is because it means Jesus defeated death. Jesus did the impossible thing. It's one thing to say that Jesus defeated sin, because that's true too. On the cross, he defeated sin, and now sin no longer has power over us. But when in the resurrection, he defeated the effects of sin on the earth. He defeated the effects of sin, the death that was continually working on the earth. And so it's important. So it's an important part of our message. My message to you this morning is, I have a gift for you. It's also an essential part of our faith or our belief. Not only is it an important part of the message, but it's an important thing that we believe it, that we believe his resurrection. So I have a gift for you. Do you believe that? Do you believe that I have a gift for you? That I have something that I want to give you? Have I ever lied to you before? I can't ask my children that because I probably have. Like when I've said, we're going to leave in 10 minutes or something. So it's important that we believe it. In Romans 10:9, it says, if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and we believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, we will be saved. So it's important not that just that we know that Jesus was resurrected, but that we believe it. It's an important part of what we believe. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life, and he who believes in me will never die. Now, here's the final piece that I want to talk about with the resurrection. We tend to think about the resurrection being something we get at the end of life. When Jesus says that you have eternal life, we think afterlife. We think this is where we get to step into the eternal life of Jesus that we saw at the resurrection is in the afterlife. But eternal life means ongoing forever, never ending. And so we get to live in the resurrection of Jesus right now. That's what he was saying when he said to Mary, I am the resurrection and the life. That was when he actually raised Lazarus from the dead. And she said, I know, we're going to be resurrected in the life to come. And Jesus was saying, no, I am the resurrection right now. And so if I say to the kids, I have a gift for you. Oh, where did I put it? Oh, that would have been so bad. I would have become a liar. If I said to the kids, I have a gift for you, and they say, okay, I believe you have a gift for me, and then I go, see, I do have a gift for you. You can have it when you leave. And that's sometimes how we think about resurrection, the life that Jesus means for us to have. But what is important is that we recognize not just that the resurrection is an essential part of the message, the resurrection is an essential part of our belief and part of us stepping into the faith, the saving faith of Jesus, but it's an essential part of the way that we live our lives. That other people can see the message and the truth of the resurrection and believe in it because it's evident for us. And so I have a gift for you, the gift of life, and you don't have to wait until you leave to get it, but you can get it right now, Pastor Brian. So all of you kids, even if you're not up front, there's enough for all the kids. You can pick one, and you don't have to, but I'd love it if you'd put it on because it'll help my sermon. But there is this aspect of resurrection life. In Scripture, it talks about the fact that the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in us. And that's something that's evident in our lives. That the way that we walk, the way that we live, the hope that we have, for many of us, the change when we went from death to life, the change in our life, it displays the resurrection life of Jesus. And so we need to believe not just that we have an eternal hope in the by and by, which we do, but that what the resurrection means for us right now is that the life of Christ is working in us and through us and on the earth. Up until, from the time of the fall, where sin entered the picture, so Jesus created creation and mankind to experience, or God with Jesus and the Holy Spirit, all three of them, created life and mankind and creation to experience the life of God. And when sin entered the picture, death began to work on the earth. And death was working on the earth all along throughout history until Jesus died on the cross and raised again. And now life is working on the earth. And we get to be the partnership in that life. We get to be the ones who display that life, who walk around not just knowing that someday I have a gift of resurrection life, but that I actually get to live in that life right now. I actually get to walk and be an example and a witness. That's one of the last things that Jesus said, is that you will be my witnesses. And to some degree, they were being witnesses in a very real way to the resurrection because they saw it, because he revealed himself to them. I'm going to read this scripture in, hopefully, 1 Corinthians. This is where Paul is talking. He says, I make known to you, brethren, the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, in which also you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast to the word which I preached, unless you believed in vain. And he talks about, I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried and that he was raised on the third day, that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12, then he appeared to more than 500 brethren at one time, most of whom remain until now, but some have fallen asleep, which means some have gone home to be with Jesus. Then he appeared to James and then to all of the apostles. And last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared to me also. And what I want us to recognize, number one, that's a whole lot of people that saw Jesus after his resurrection. And they were all witnesses. But Paul did not witness it face to face in the first hand, other than that Jesus revealed himself to him. And we all stand as witnesses that Jesus has revealed himself to, that we get to proclaim the resurrection life through our lives. And so as we close, kids, you can go ahead and go back to your seats. Thank you so much. With your gift, as we close, I want us to consider where are we looking? I love that statement. Why are you looking for the living among the dead? What is it that we have rendered dead in our own lives, situations that we're facing? Where is it that we need to proclaim the life of Christ and thank the Lord for his life in those moments? Thank the Lord that it isn't the end of the story. I love that poetry that just talked about the fact that the cross was meant for this, but this is what it accomplished. That there are things going on all around us that we can see that it's meant for this, but Scripture doesn't say God turns it to good. It says he means it for good. The very thing that's meant for evil, he can say, oh, I mean that for good. And that there is a life that's going to come out of that death. This is the beauty of resurrection. And so we want to lean into the resurrection life. Our belief in the resurrection and the resurrection itself changes everything. If the worship team can come up, that would be great. The cross allowed me to die to everything that's not true, but the resurrection allows me to come alive and live in the truth. And so we want to declare that as we leave today. We want to declare that reality, that we have beheld him in his resurrection. Do I believe in his resurrection? But more importantly, what do I believe it means for me right now today? Where do I need resurrection to change the way that I see things? Because one of the things that the resurrection said is nothing is impossible. There's nothing that's impossible. That the work of death on the earth cannot overcome the victorious risen King. And so we need to step into that. In 1 Peter 1:3, he says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope, a present hope, a current hope. He's caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Allow the Holy Spirit to awaken that hope in you for this time and for this place. And we're going to worship him from that place. We're going to worship him in that declaration and allow our gratitude and our thankfulness for even the situation that we don't see the fullness of his life in. We're going to worship him for the resurrection life he wants to work in our marriage that looks like it's dead. Or the family relationship that looks like it's dead, or my financial situation, or my career, or the dreams that I've had that look like they're dead, or the health issues that I'm walking through that just seems like it's a done deal and there's no life to be had in this. We are going to worship the God of new creation, the God of resurrection life, the God who does things differently than we want, but better.
Thank you for listening to this week's message. To learn more about us, please visit livingwatersmn.org.